stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I continue to preach in your hearing on this Tuesday, and believe it or not, in the month of June, of a hypocritical faith, or of hypocritical faith, part 7, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk, part 36. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos. Again, Isaiah was not the son of the prophet Amos. This is another Amos, spelled differently, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. A true prophet, a true preacher sent by God and not sent by his mother, they will preach anywhere. This is why we found John the Baptist in the wilderness. He was not in a palace. He was not in a synagogue. He was not at the temple. A true prophet will preach anywhere, and God will give him an audience. Isaiah was here crying out to the heavens and to the earth, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." You don't worry about the audience. You don't worry about the crowd. If you're preaching what God has told you to do, preacher, God will gather the audience somehow, some way. Don't you worry about that. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass, that is the donkey, and you're thinking negatively because you're corrupt. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. It's hard to provoke the Lord to anger. You've got to be really doing some bad stuff to do that, and continuing to do it. I'm going to park right there. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for this past, rather eventful, interesting, and productive in a way, day that we did not plan for it to be. We had other plans, but for some reason you led us to stay put, and now we know why, and we praise you and we thank you for allowing things to work out the way they did. And again, Lord, I praise you and thank you for my oldest daughter standing with us in a big way and helping out, helping the ministry move forward. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor for that and for her. And so, Holy Father God, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults, for you know all about us. And Lord, as we're getting ready to hear from this powerful quote, Lord, people are all into looking good but not being good, and we don't want to be a part of that. Lord, we want to be, as the old saints used to say, Christians in our hearts. So forgive us, Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Lord, if there's anyone among us living a lie, living as a hypocrite, a phony, a fake, trying to look good but not be good, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit, and whatever, however you do it, Lord, not give them rest until they confess their sins and repent and get real, and help all of us to be real, because you're real and you know about everything we have done and everything we've said and thought. So, Holy Father God, we pray that you would demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, fill all of us who are saved and clean with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, help us not to play, help us to pray. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons and his hosts, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness. Lord, out of the hearts and minds of your people here and out there. And we praise you and we thank you for the thousands who listen live and on demand throughout the week, every week, why they follow, why they tune in, Lord, only you know. And some every day, and they invite their friends and family members to gather around devices and so forth around the world. And I was amazed the other day once again to see how many countries all around the world we're in, and how people are listening in so many different ways. And we thank you for them. We pray that you would encourage those who are discouraged, reclaim the backslidden, save those who are lost, heal and strengthen the feeble-minded. Glorify your holy name, and we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power of your gospel, by the power of your holy word, souls would be saved, Christians would be revived, Satan horrified, and your holy name glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Brennan Manning said, "The temptation of the age, and I would add the practice of the age, is to look good without being good." And this is so true and so apropos for the church today. It's all about looking good. I can't say it the way he said it, but I like how he said it, and I'm going to repeat it. The temptation of the age, and I'm going to add the practice of the age, is to look good without being good. And I'm reminded of an actress. If I called her name, you would know her. She's a natural who was teamed up with another natural, and I'm glad that this show has been taken off the off television. But one day this actor was taking her out on a big date with a limousine, and she was mad at him about something, and he tried to compliment her and said, he said to her, "You sure look good tonight." And she said, "I may look good, but I'm not good," and walked off. We need more people in the church saying, "I may look good, but I'm not good. In fact, I am corrupt, and like the Israelites in this chapter, I corrupt others with my bad attitude, my mean and hateful spirit, my rebelliousness, my stubbornness, my pride, and not only my pride, my pharaohistic pride, which is very deadly, by the way. My lying. I may be fine, but I'm not fine. I may be good, but I'm not good, because I'm a liar from the core of my being. Have you ever met people who are liars and they get mad with you because you won't believe their lies? And by the way, for those of you who are liars and you have shown yourself to be a liar to significant others, there is no real remedy for that. But number one, stop lying. Number two, never lie again to those significant others or anybody else. Number three, you have to provide things honest from that day forward, every day. Number four, and never get tired of providing things honest. Never get an attitude about providing things honest. That means you got to show your hand every time, because they already know you to be a liar. So you've got to show your hand, you got to have your stuff together, you've got to have it out there in the open every time, because they don't trust you. Why? Because you have given them every reason not to trust you. I'm talking about family members, I'm talking about people on the job, etc. So that's free for you liars out there. Yes, even in the church. Yes, even in the family. There are people who still believe they can lie and live a lie and just have a happy-go-lucky life. And I'm here to tell you that is not the case. God hates lying very much. He says so in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And may God help you if you are living a lie. May God help you. I feel sorry for your spouse if you are a liar. It's amazing that some marriages still exist when you have a spouse who is an out-and-out liar. These people who can look you in the eye and tell a lie without batting their eye, without blinking, these are very dangerous people. Now that's all free. That's to help you, you liars out there. You know who you are. You think it's okay to lie. You call them little white lies. They all is all evil and wicked and ungodly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, on yesterday, we began looking at verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 1. Here the Lord contrasts his vision for Israel's existence with how she has corrupted that vision by her stubbornness, her pride, her rebelliousness, her disobedience. He desired for her to be a special nation, but she has become a sinful nation. Have you ever had anybody in your family or your teacher of some students or your coach of a football team, and you just had a great vision for certain individuals? You poured yourself into them. You gave them everything. You left everything on the field. You knew they were going to do something great. You wanted them to do something great. They had it in them to do something great. But come to find out, they're corrupt to the core. There's some people who are corrupt to the core. And you can't help them. I know you think you can, but you can't. I know you have psychological courses. You got courses in psychology behind you, and you got courses in coaching and guidance counselor and all of that kind of thing. Listen to me very carefully. You can have all of that. You can have all of the education you want. If a person is demonically corrupt to his heart or to her heart, corrupt to their core, and they're going to show you their true colors after a while, by and by. And if your whole life is tied up in them and not in God, in Jesus, you're going to be hurt very badly. There are some people you just got to let them go and learn the hard way. And let them learn it the hard way, if they learn it at all. Because there are some people, particularly with pharaohistic pride in their souls, in their minds, in their heart, in their hearts, in their spirits. A ton of bricks can fall down on them, and they'll get right back up, and within 5 minutes they'll be doing the same corrupt, evil sins they were doing. The Bible talks about this in the book of Proverbs. There are some evil people, corrupt people, so wicked, so filled with pharaohistic pride, they can take a licking and keep on ticking for evil and for the devil. Won't change. 5 years, 10 years, you think they'll come out of it? 15, 20, 25, 30, no. Some of you have people like that in your family. Some of you have folks like that in your church. Some of you used to have friends like that, but you had to cut them loose. And by the way, you'll be wise once you see that they're corrupt to the core, like some of these Israelites were. It's best to cut them loose. Cut them loose. Let them go. Turn them over to God. Only God can help them. Only God can help them. And you pray that God will help them. And God will help them. Pray that they will take heed before they die. Ah, sinful nation. He desired for her to be a unique people, but she has become a people burdened with guilt, burdened with sin, burdened with pride and stubbornness. People who hate the good way and love the dark and evil way. He desired for her to be the righteous seed of Abraham. I cannot emphasize this enough, how we desire for things, for people to do certain things so that they can be blessed. How many of you have ever done that? You want them to do the right thing so that they can be blessed, so that they can enjoy the life that God has blessed them with, but they're hell-bent on being hell-bent. Hell-bent. See, that's what it means, hell-bent. They're just hell-bent to do evil. You straighten them up, you let them go, you leave them, and they're hell-bent. They start bending down towards hell as soon as you let them go. Soon as you get away from, you're not around them, they hell-bent and do some of the most evil, ungodly, sinister things. especially people in the church, because they know how, they know what they're supposed to circumvent, and they know how, they think they know how to get around it and fool the people of God. But they can't fool God, and then what does the God do? He reveals it to the people of God. And that's when they can't trust you anymore. And you lost trust. And that's the, and my beloved, my dear friend, once you lose trust with people, particularly God's people, they will love you and they will pray for you. But it's almost impossible to gain that trust back. I said it's almost impossible. It's one of those things that you're going to have to fight for the rest of your life if you want it. If you want their trust back, you'll probably die trying to get that trust once they realize that you're nothing but a lie. He desired for her, the Israelites, to be the righteous seed of Abraham, but she has become a seed of evildoers. How about you, dear Christian friend? I'm talking to you tonight. We're not talking to lost folks right now. I'm talking to saved people, born again ones. And so tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in this same verse, God refers to Israel as children. They were his children, and he expected them to act like it. He knew they would not be perfect, but he desired for them to grow up and be holy as he is holy. Instead, not only had they become corrupted themselves, but they had become children who were corruptors. I've seen this happen, you've seen it happen. We call it peer pressure. Isn't it amazing? A good Christian young lady, a girl, 14, 15, 16 years old, loves God, loves Jesus, loves the Bible bee. You get her around some evil, devilish, corrupt people, corrupt communications, corrupt good manners, and they gravitate to being evil and hellacious and corrupt like them. Instead of the good girl, saved and born again, loves the Bible, loves Jesus, loves God, converting them. It's the other way around every time. Part of the reason for that is because of our wicked, sinful nature. We all have some hell bentness in us. And as soon as somebody who's corrupt can tap it, there we go. I'm the one that people quote when they say the reason why good girls go for the bad boys is because there's some bad girl in the good girl called the flesh. We all have some hell bentness in us, and we get around corruptors who know how to corrupt with their nasty attitudes, their bad attitudes, their hatefulness, their rebelliousness, their meanness, their sullenness. Before you know it, the good girl is corrupt as well. The Hebrew word translated as corrupt means to spoil, to mar, to pervert, to decay. The children of Israel were spreading their corruption around. They were not content being corrupt themselves, and always remember this now. People who are corrupt, they're not content being being corrupt themselves. They always want to corrupt others. This is why we see such foolishness and such ridiculousness in things called gay pride parades. they're not satisfied being corrupt themselves. They want the whole community to be twisted and queer and homosexual and so-called gay. And there's nothing gay about it. There's nothing happy about it. I was thankful to see today that for the first time ever, out of all of the cities in the nation, some straight folk, some heterosexual folk said they're going to have them a parade too. With floats, they said, they added that. They're not just going to march down the street. The heterosexuals are going to gather together and walk down the street and march and have floats. It's going to be a straight pride parade. I said, all righty then. Now watch they get ridiculed. Watch the so-called gays, the homosexuals get mad as hell. I guarantee they're going to be throwing eggs at them and everything else. How dare you have a straight parade, a straight pride day? How dare you? But they want you to join into their corruption. And I hope it catches fire and goes into every city, every nook and cranny, every little town that everybody has. They start having a straight pride parade day. I hope it happens. I hope it just takes fire. It goes all across the country. You say, preacher, are you going to march in it? No, I don't have to march in it. But I'll cheer them on. Some gays are mad right now because I'm telling you about it. I said, all right, then they already filed the papers and everything, and guess what? The city has not given them the permission yet. What's the hold up? What's the hold up? What's the hold up? You know what the hold up is? There's some gays on the city council. I guarantee you they're protesting. We can't have no straight pride day. It's going to cost too much money. It's too many straights. But I'm glad to hear it. I hope they go through with it. Be that as it may, they were setting a bad example for the people. They were supposed to lead into the light. And that's what many people today in the church are doing, including preachers, including pastors, including bishops, including evangelists and so-called prophets, the blind leading the blind. And God could not allow them to continue to do that. Hundreds of years later, the Jewish religious leaders would try to defend themselves by saying they were children of God, children of Abraham. But Jesus told them, based upon their actions, ye are of your father the devil. Based upon your behavior, based upon your unwillingness to humble down and confess, humble down to the ground into the dust and confess your sins and repent. Nobody's perfect. But a saved person, a born again person, a person who truly loves God and loves Jesus, when they mess up, they confess up. The reason why we love David, we still love David. David messed up royally, pun not intended. David messed up in a bad way. He lied, he committed adultery, and murdered somebody and lied about it. That's almost all the commandments right there. He broke. But when he was confronted by Nathan the prophet, who had the testicular fortitude to stand flat-footed and tell President David a story. And then he ran back and said, thou art the man. You're guilty before God. And when he was confronted by the man of God, he humbled himself. He confessed his sins. He confessed his mess, and he repented. And he took his chastisement like a man, like a godly man should. He agreed with God about his evil. How about you, dear Christian friend? You have messed up royally too. You're doing evil right now. Nobody can find you. You're never where you should be. Won't answer your phone. Can't find you. What are you doing? You're not at work. You're not in school. You're not at the house. Where are you? Doing stuff you have no business doing with somebody you ought not to be with, and you know it, and yet you still call yourself a child of God, and you know you are because you're guilty, and you're trying to hide, and you're trying to cover up stuff, and you need to confess your sins, and you need to repent like David. We still love David. We read David all the time, all of us. We don't have a problem with David because David came clean with his mess. And he took his chastisement for it like a Christian man should. Where you agree with God. You don't moan and groan and cry and whine and talk lying to people. I pray for me. I'm going through trials. I'm going through tribulation. No, you're going through chastisement. God is whipping your behind. That's what he's doing. So lay it for all that. In his commentary, Dr. J. Alec Motyer, and this is a point where my son and I, we have a disagreement. He helps me with my sermons, and he's a much younger man, and he likes this particular commentator, and so I let him keep it in there this time, and hopefully he will shed some light. I believe that we could have shed more light, but I'll make up the difference by the grace of God. Dr. Motyer provides a parallel for the church today, somewhat. He says the Israelites were designed to be special as the unique nation and people. Special to God as the seed of Abraham and his very own sons. And sin had ruined all. But the heart of this sinfulness is how they now stand in relation to the Lord. Only commitment to the Lord secures true values in life. And by the way, may I add, there's a whole lot of talk about values today. We hear the Republicans talking about values. We hear the Democrats talking about values, and they're not the same values. It's strange. But I like what he brings out here, for he says, only commitment to the Lord secures true values in life. When the commitment goes, that is, to the Lord, values follow. And this is so true. It's not about the values necessarily. It's about the Lord. He's the one who keeps us faithful to the values. And those values should be based upon the Word of God. And Dr. Motyer goes on to say, to forsake the Lord is the opposite of to seek the Lord. To forsake the Lord is the opposite of to seek the Lord. And that's what's happening in the church today. We got folks forsaking the Lord and not seeking the Lord. And seeking the Lord goes hand in hand with what Jesus said. You need to return to me, your first love. You need to seek me. And have it to be so that everything you do for my glory, my praise, and my honor. We have a whole lot of people serving the Lord, but they have forgotten the Lord. They have left the Lord behind, but they're serving the Lord. Very hard. With no connection to the Lord, no sensitivity to the Lord, no conviction. They feel no conviction about what they're doing because they're so far from the Lord. Now, seeking, he says, is not looking for him as though he were lost. Always remember, God never moves. We move. And therein lies the problem. We have a whole lot of church members moving away from God. God has not moved. God does not change. God is not moving over here. He's not playing hide and seek with you. He's in the same place you met him at. He's still there. If you feel far away, guess who moved? You moved. God has never been lost. He does not need to be found. You need to get back to him yourself. But showing a determination to be with him is what it's about. Where he is to be found, so forsaking is deliberately distancing ourselves from him on purpose. And I have seen this. I watch this all the time. People deliberately moving themselves away from the Lord. You will find that these people will stop praying deliberately. Because you know why? They are hell-bent on doing evil. They made up their mind to do evil. And so they don't want to pray. They stop reading their Bible. They leave their Bible behind. You know why? Because they don't want to hear from God. Because they've already made up their mind that they're going to commit adultery. They're going to commit fornication. They're going to go into the homosexual closet. They're going to lie and they're going to steal and rob people's identity and bank accounts. They're corrupt. They've made up their mind to be so. And they don't want anybody, especially God, trying to stop them. This is happening in the church today. It arises from a change of heart whereby he who should be loved is rather spurned or treated with scorn. And this happens every time, end of quote. And this happens every time when people make up their mind that they want to be corrupt and do evil. God is spurned. These people don't want to hear anything about God. They will not go to church anymore. And if they go, they go for social reasons because they don't want to be lonely all the time. Or they go to see if they can hook up with somebody else. When we in the church saddle up to the world, no matter how we mask it with sanctimonious speech, we show contempt and scorn for God and his ways. Like Israel, we are supposed to be a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. That doesn't mean strange, it means different. It means separated from the world. It is the church's job to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. But in many ways, we have been contributing to the corruption in our society. Thank God for the remnant. Don't get mad, remnant. I have not forgotten about you. More importantly, God has not forgotten about you. We're not talking to you. You're doing the right things. You're still praying. You're still in your prayer closet. Even though your husband has left you, you're still praying. You're still faithful to God. You're still faithful to Jesus Christ. You're still faithful to the church. You're still giving and tithing and serving in the church and trying to bring folks to Jesus. Even when there's a whole lot of foolishness going on in the church. We thank God for the remnant. We wouldn't be here today if it were not for the remnant. Most churches would not be standing today if it had not been for the remnant. This country would not exist if God had not kept a remnant. God always has his 7,000. May your heart be encouraged. We're not rebuking you. We're rebuking the people around you who are playing church. We have been contributing, sadly, to the corruption in our society. And God cannot allow us to continue to do that. Like the children of Israel, we have gone away backward. We have gone away backward. And what's so sad about it, we have some who are going full speed ahead in the wrong direction, and they're going backwards and they don't even know it. Because they read somebody's blog that told them, we did it this way, and you need to do it this way. It is sad and it is a shame how many followers we have as pastors. Your pastor, in many cases, is not the pastor of the church. The pastor of the church is the person's blog he reads and follows. He's not even in contact with Jesus. He's in contact with the blogger. And they love to email each other and respond to each other and say the same things over and over again, preach the same sermons. And so some churches are not being led by the head as they should be. They're led by some guru. And I want to encourage all pastors, you ought to stop reading everybody but Jesus. Stop reading everybody but the Word of God. And you create a blog for your people. And no pastor ought to be following any other pastor except the pastor that led him to Jesus or the church he came out of. That's why we have all these look-alike churches. Everybody doing the same thing, saying the same things. And then high-fiving. Yeah, we did it. You did it. Everybody did it. We all doing it. And just going around in circles. Like the children of Israel, we have gone away backward and provoked the Holy One to anger. And unless we return to act actively, deliberately, on purpose, seeking the Lord, getting back to our first love, we will continue to face his rebuke, his chastisement, and his judgment. And we will come up empty. Our prayer should be along the lines of this hymn. Broken, humbled to the dust, by thy wrath and judgment just, let my contrite heart rejoice, and in gladness hear thy voice. From my sins, O hide thy face, blot them out in boundless grace. Gracious God, my heart renew. Make my spirit right and true. Cast me not away from thee. Let thy spirit dwell in me. Thy salvation's joy impart, steadfast make my willing heart. Sinners then shall learn from me, and return, O God, to Thee. Savior, all my guilt remove, and my tongue shall sing Thy love. Touch my silent lips, O Lord, and my mouth shall praise accord. Let's all stand. And ladies and gentlemen, before we pray, if you are a Christian, if you truly believe in Christ and God is speaking to your heart, here are three takeaways. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. Take it seriously. Stop thinking God does not see you, and stop thinking that other people don't see you. There are people, if you are in a local Bible-believing church, there are people who have your number. They're so sweet and they're so nice, they won't tell you. Every now and then, though, a prophet will come by who does not mind telling you that you're corrupt and you need to cut out your foolishness and you need to repent. Thank God for those people in the church who are so discerning. They love you so much, but they have the uncanny ability to shoot straight with you and say, you need to cut out your foolishness. Stop your lying. Stop your complaining and your whining about your husband. Stop your complaining and whining about your wife and how your children are going astray, and get your act together. How about that? We need to hear some of Dr. Field in the church. Cut out your foolishness. Stop your lying. Stop running from every counselor, from this counselor to that counselor, and tell the truth about yourself. Don't you say another word about anybody until you get your act together. Confess your own sins. Sing the old song of the old saints. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Look in the mirror and see how ugly you really are. The mirror of the Word of God, how corrupt, how hateful, how hypocritical you are, how you love everybody in the church, but you hate all your family members. You love everybody in the world, but you hate the people at the church. You already know what your sins are. Confess them and repent. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ, starting with your family. You have some serious, deep problems in your own family. You know where the landmines are. You know where the sin is in the camp. You know about the generational curses. And you might want to tell everybody about them and stop hiding that. And pray for every soul in your family. May God help you if you're not praying for your own family, but you want to pray for everybody else. You want to be in everybody else's business, and your family is corrupt. Don't bow your head. It is not time to pray. We're going to pray in a minute. Your own family is corrupt as hell. You know, about the business of looking good but not being good. And pray for them to repent of their sins and to get back to Jesus Christ, their first love. Number three, pray for lost souls to be saved. And do your part by witnessing to lost souls, and pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth more laborers into the widened harvest fields, including you, including all of us. Let's have a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, We thank you for your holy word and the message tonight. Help us in your church, Lord, to realize and to understand that judgment must begin at the house of God. Help us who are truly born again, who are truly saved, to confess our sins and to repent. Save those who are lost, but yet they're church members. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears. And Lord, fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit to change from the inside out. Break us, make us, and mold us to be what you'd have us to be. And we pray for the salvation of the lost tonight as they receive the gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, if you're with us tonight and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you may be seated. Allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul from the power of sin and from the punishment of sin, which is an eternal hell. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's Ten Commandments. We all have. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. If you have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if you have never received the free gift of salvation through Christ, if you have never met Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a real place. Hell is a place of torment. And the saddest aspect of hell to me is that once you go to hell, you can't come out. It is forever, the Bible says, and ever. Now, that's what the Bible says. And that is God's record. Your unbelief will not change the fact of a literal burning hell forever. But that's the price of sin if we don't trust Christ as Savior. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from an eternal hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven, to be with God forever, to be with Jesus Christ, and to be at peace. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It is as simple as that. You don't have to join a church to be saved. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to pay any money to get saved. Simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "And thou you shalt be saved." And God will do the rest in your life. just trust him. If you're willing to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, follow me in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments by lying, by stealing, by lusting after people and things, by dishonoring and disobeying my parents, by taking your holy name in vain, and many other sins. Have mercy and grace upon my soul, me a sinner. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died on the cross for me and for the world. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen tonight, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In fact, if you send me your email, we will send you two new books, free of charge to help you grow in the faith. And once you get them, share them with others. One is titled, How to Get Saved from Hell, straight from the Bible. The companion book is What to Do After You Enter Through the Door, which is a discipleship book. And we will send that to you as an ebook, free of charge. And we would encourage you to read it so that you can grow in the faith. Share them with family and friends so that they can do the same. And so, dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know so that we can send these books to you free of charge so that you can grow in the faith and be the Christian that God wants you to be. Also, if you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good is our prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.